Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Since the beginning of the university term, which is not very long ago, 3 weeks basically at this stage, in Cork, three female first-year college students have been raped. That's according to the city's Sexual Violence Centre. Male predators are targeting women as they leave pubs and clubs around the city. And none of those three rapes have so far been reported to the Gardaí. And that is according to Mary Crilly, who is head of the centre. And she joins me now on the line to discuss it. Mary, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon. Thank you for giving me the opportunity here.
And I'm actually delighted to talk to you. Can we talk first of all about the fact that these three rapes that you're talking about, first-year students, young girls, 18, 19, starting out on their college careers, should be the world as their oyster, and obviously this has happened to them. What kind of an effect does a rape have on the victim, Mary?
Well, I think in these situations it's not uncommon. We would have come across this every year, year after year, year after year. But very often the girls come to us when they're exam time, when they can't cope, and then they might disclose that at the beginning of the college year, they were raped by someone, but they tried to get through. This time they've come earlier because they didn't know what to do. Two of them wanted to drop out of college. We're trying to help them through that so they realise that what happened wasn't their fault, because unfortunately, most victims, male or female, young men or young women, or women in their 70s who have met in a sex assault treatment unit, nearly all say it was their fault, because that's what victims are told, that it's their fault. So I was at a meeting last night of the Joint Policing Committee, which would be, you know, councillors, it would be members of the doctors, and a few members of the public participation network, very few. And there was talk about kind of how the freshers went really well this year, that the residents weren't disrupted, which I thought was wonderful. And then in my head I said, you have to say something about the visibility of other things that happened to freshers and raise awareness about it.
Yeah.
Because it goes by, without people talking about it, it's like, it happened as if it's no effect. And just to go back to your question, it has a huge effect. A lot of these young girls, like you say, they're bushy-eyed, they're whatever, bushy-tailed, whatever way the phrase is.
Yeah.
They're happy out. They're not going back to mummy and daddy that night. They feel grown up. They're ready for action and scared about it too. And it's a time when they should be enjoying themselves. And then very often the perpetrator will be somebody maybe a year or two older than them who might come across them at a party or somewhere. Because 80% of people know who rapes them, and kind of say, look, if you ever need anything, that's my number, contact me. If you can't find anywhere, you know, help me out. I know what it's like starting back in college. So these girls feel a sense of trust and feel they can be with this guy and he'll be a good friend to them. And then it happens and they're saying, what happened there? What did I miss? What signal did I give? As if it was their fault. And it is never, ever, ever their fault.
Okay, so the notion of stranger danger, that's kind not a myth because it does occasionally happen, but the vast majority of rapes and sexual assaults are carried out by someone the victim knows.
Most of the time, whether they're a student or not a student, it's somebody who you know in some kind of way because you trust them. I know I have come across some publicans who told me that they find that the guys aren't coming into pubs anymore. They're waiting outside for girls to come out who might be alone and who might be quite intoxicated, and then they pick them up there. And that's where there's campaigns going on in Cork, like Ask Barangelo, where somebody can ask a barman or a bouncer to kind of get them home or get them a taxi or something. But what I hate is when it does happen, like even a few of the interviews I did this morning, people ringing in and saying girls need to drink less. And I'm saying, well, the drink isn't raping them. Most men, most guys, the majority are not doing this. And the guys who are doing this just see somebody who's drunk as more vulnerable. And these guys have a huge sense of entitlement that they can do what they want. Like, they can go to 100 consent classes, but they don't want any of them because they don't want consent. They want power and they want control. Like, I find if you look at rape sometimes, look at elderly who've been raped, and we have seen that in this country,
yeah,
and that's appalling. And we've seen older men who've been raped, and that's just as appalling. But we see that very clearly as a crime. This person has been raped, and that's a crime, end of story. But when it comes to a young girl being raped, all of a sudden it's kind of grey. It is never grey, it's green. But we make it grey and we say, well, she was drunk, she did this, she did that. we excuse behaviour of the perpetrator all the time. And the problem is he'll continue to do it. And there's so many good guys out there not doing it.
Of course.
I wish they'd stand up and say to their friends, this isn't on, or I can't hang out with you if you're doing this. But they ignore it because they don't want to be isolated. They want to stay as part of the group.
And surely, Mary, though, most rapists, I hear what you're saying. And of course, it's nearly not go without saying it's not all men. But for those that are the predators, surely it's covert. Surely their friends aren't aware that they're raping women, that they're doing this, that they're going after girls in a vulnerable state. Do you think people know that it's more obvious than that?
Oh, absolutely. Because these guys brag about it.
Oh God.
You know, they really do brag about it. It's not a secret to them. It's kind of a notch in their belt. And they do tell their friends, whatever they did. And they do brag about it, so the friends do know. I can understand why they're caught, but it's about time as society, everybody stood up to try and stop this behaviour. Because it's happening. Like, one in five girls, according to the last Savvy report, which is way old, it's about 2000 and something, one in five girls are raped, and there's about one in 20 men. Or a small bit higher, men are more likely to get their head kicked in than get sexually assaulted. So it's not high, that's the prevalence of it.
One in five girls are raped.
In this country.
In this country.
So we need to stop looking at it as something that is not a big deal. It is a big deal. And, you know, these young girls, these young people are the future and the present. And I think we need to start doing something to really enable them to talk about, to enable them to get support if they want, but also to start campaigns looking at the guys who are doing it and pinpointing them to stop doing it.
Mary, do you believe that we have a rape culture?
Oh, I think we totally do. I mean, even with the language that's been used everywhere, you know, you could be around town and you could hear a young girl. I heard it even last week. I walked around during June a certain night and these young ones around the place with skirts, very short skirts, and they're frozen. How is he? Managers now is beyond me, and shoes they couldn't walk in, and they were invincible. They were out having fun. They gave me a smile because they were invincible. And then I heard people calling them slut, snag, and all this kind of stuff. And you deserve what you get tonight. Now that's appalling, and that does go on wholesale.
Yeah.
And that's not fair to a child.
Yeah, yeah. One of the biggest single risk factor for men raping apparently is the belief that they will get away with it. So if you think you're going to get away with it, you might do it. It's probably like every other crime.
So right,
but we have such low rates of prosecution and even lower rates of conviction in this country. Can anything be done about that, Mary? Where are we going wrong in that sphere?
There's a 5% conviction rate. And it all comes down to the issue of consent. Even though they've tried to change the wording of consent and kind of change to say that if somebody's drunk, if somebody's out of it, therefore they cannot consent. But I think the whole system has to change. There's no point in just changing a bit here and there. The whole system of the way it operates, where, you know, a lot of people would be aware of the case of Belfast. It's very similar here, where the girl was on the stand for over 2 weeks and the guy was on the stand for 2 hours. Like down here, the men who rape don't have to go on the stand at all.
Obviously, the men in the Belfast rape trial were acquitted, and we have to say that.
I'm talking about the system, yeah.
Yeah, but the point being that you're making is that the alleged victim gets grilled and put through the mill in a way that perhaps the alleged perpetrators don't?
Well, the alleged perpetrator doesn't even have to go on the stand. It's up to their barrister to decide if they're putting him up or not. But the majority of times I'm in court, he doesn't go on the stand, and the jury are told not to read anything in this, that they've just decided he's not going on the stand. And the end, so all the jurors can go on, is her. And what they'll try and do, first of all, is break her down and kind of destroy her credibility in one way or another.
Yeah.
All the jury needs is some small doubt, so that needs to be changed.
Yeah.
It needs to be treated like a crime. Not like the victim having to prove.
I'm just looking at some of the texts. Catherine says, we need louder conversations everywhere to educate and eradicate sexual abuse. No one wants to hear it, but got to keep the pressure up to change laws anyway. We can make sexual assault the exception, must at least try. Think a campaign where we pass out cards, where on the one side we educate and then you sign it on the other. We can collect worldwide views and eradicate rape and sexual assault. Someone else says, how do we get young girls to stop feeling responsible? I think victim blaming is a big issue. That just talk to me a little bit, because one of the things is this, is no other crime has such low rates of reporting. Nobody would dream of having their house broken into and not reporting it to the guards, or their wallet stolen and not reporting it to the guards, or indeed a little fender bender, they bumped the front bumper on their car, they report it to the guards. Yet this significant violent crime that very often destroys the life and is a life sentence for the victim going forward goes unreported. That has to say that victims have no faith in the system as exists in terms of them getting justice.
I think we help people not feel guilty and responsible for it, because they're told from an early day, a girl is told or a woman is told, watch what you're doing, watch what you're saying, watch where you walk, watch all this kind of stuff. In other words, take responsibility for somebody else's behaviour. So we need to keep challenging that and get rid of the shame. There's a shame and the guilt people feel about being raped, of all things, that they don't want other people to know that this horrible thing happened to them. They could break two arms and two legs and tell people, but there's such shame attached to this kind of thing. And then they're kind of asked, are you sure? How do you know he didn't consent? Leave him alone. He's going through college. All this kind of stuff.
You'll ruin his life.
Totally. Yeah. And then families kind of saying they're quite supportive. Do you really want to bring this on yourself? Because it could take 2 years before it comes to court. So everybody, you know, is kind of pushing them not to do anything about it. And like, I want the good guys out there just to kind of...
There are so many good guys. No, I accept
that.
But we need to have a conversation about the not good guys. Yeah. Look, thank you.
They need to stand up and say something.
Thank you for speaking to me. I think we all need to stand up and say something. Thank you for speaking to me. That is Mary Crilly there, head of Cork's Sexual Violence Centre. Lots of people, thankfully, talking about how to stop young girls for feeling responsible and all of those things about victim shaming, how awful it is for people. But let's just look at this one text here, and it goes, when we talk about girls feeling guilty, feeling made responsible, feeling made feel ashamed. Someone says, Kira, I am a woman and I feel the girls are going around with anything, hardly anything on them. And then they cry, rape? Question mark. Have these girls no shame? Dress appropriately and nothing will happen to them. Have you no shame? Have you no shame, who sent that text? That's what your response is to a girl, a young girl, three of them in Cork, haven't even reported to the guards being raped. Shame on you. Shame on you for sending that text. You may be a woman, but you're no supporter of other women. Rape exists. Three girls in Cork, 18, 19 years of age. Their college career is ruined. And that's what you send? Dress appropriately and nothing will happen to them? I hope nothing ever happens to you, because that is not why people are raped. Rape is a violent crime and a power crime. And anyone who says otherwise is lucky enough maybe not to have experienced it.